This is the Truth Hurts program. Hello, hi, and howdy. Once again, the Truth Hurts program is here in your ear, and I have a question that I failed to ask on the previous edition of the Truth Hurts program. Remember last week when CBS's Face the Nation host Margaret Brennan asked the Democratic Representative Dan Goldman why President Biden would dispatch his personal attorney who didn't have proper security clearance to his Delaware home to search for classified documents? Presumably, Ms. Brennan believed that when searching for classified documents, one should likely have the credentials to actually read them. So gropey Joe Biden, this doesn't add up by the way, sent his personal attorney with no security clearance to go rummaging through this house without Biden being there. The man has no security clearance. Why would the President of the United States send a man with no security clearance to go rummaging through Biden's house, his garage, his library, his other properties, to review papers that are classified, that one should have the credentials to actually have the authority to read them? So by sending his personal attorney, Mr. Biden has effectively violated every known law, statute, rule, and regulation regarding the safety and security of the United States of America. Joe Biden put the national security of our nation at risk by sending in an ambulance chaser, a lawyer with no security clearance, by the way, to go and locate, sniff out, search for, find, and then supposedly properly report what he found to the National Archives and Records Administration, to the Department of Justice, to the FBI? Let me ask you this. Do you think it would have been okay, Democrats, if Donald Trump had called Steve Z, the host of the Truth Hurts program, and said, hey, I think there might be some classified documents down at Mar-a-Lago, at my resort home. Would you do me a favor? I'm out busy right now. I'm at my beach house. Would you, Steve Z, host of the Truth Hurts program, mind flying down to Mar-a-Lago and rummaging through my house and search for some highly classified, top secret documents? Do you think the nation would have accepted that? Do you think the nation should accept me, or any lawyer, or the butler, the maid, the servants three, the janitor, the landscaping guy, the car washer, anyone? Just go to my house and search for top secret, highly classified documents. It'll be okay. Now, Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation on CBS, had her focus on who was reviewing Biden's papers, but it touches on a very interesting line of inquiry. The question still hanging in the air is the discovery of these documents. Where did this whole process start with? Why would lawyers with no security clearance, no government authority, be packing up Biden's office at the Penn Biden Center days before the midterm elections in the first place? Now, not unlike other politicians, Joe Biden has done a terrific job of turning political success into financial windfalls. You can't tell me that a guy making $174,000 a year as a U.S. senator suddenly became a multi-millionaire without greasing some palms, scratching some backs, a little quid pro Joe, someone who considered himself middle-class Joe for decades, should realize the wastefulness of spending his money on having lawyers to perform a task that any trusted intern or aide could perform. As many big-time East Coast lawyers now routinely charge over $1,000 an hour, it's an awfully expensive moving and packing crew, don't you think? Unless the intent was not to truly pack classified documents, but rather to purge them. Think about it. Do you honestly think those lawyers rummaging through Biden's properties, after hearing that a leak might be coming forward about him having classified documents in the first place, do you think those lawyers went through and packed every document? Or do you think they let a few out to satisfy the sniffing dogs in the media and destroyed God knows how many more? The timing, of course, is very suspicious. Apparently, this highly expensive moving crew was at the Biden University of Pennsylvania office a week before the midterm elections that were widely expected to turn over control of the House to the Republicans and likely turn over the Senate as well. As Republicans had signaled that they were going to be spending considerable time wearing out their subpoena powers through various House committees in order to investigate Biden and the Biden crime family, it would be an auspicious time to get rid of anything potentially damaging. By using lawyers to carry out this document purge, Joe Biden would be able to attach attorney-client privilege to their efforts. Thereby, he could avoid damaging testimony about the contents of any shredded, burned, or otherwise destroyed documents. Let's be clear here, my Truth Hurts program listeners. There might be nothing at all illegal about getting rid of musty records in the absence of a valid document retention request. But these are highly sensitive, classified, top secret documents that might very well have national security implications and would likely hang the Biden crime family for their various questionable activities. The gropey Joe Biden administration made it perfectly clear that they would not consider any request valid until the new Congress was sworn in and the various committee chair gavels were handed out. In response to document requests made in December from Jim Jordan and James Comer, a lawyer for the Biden administration responded, quote, "Congress has not delegated such authority to individual members of Congress who are not committee chairmen, and the House has not done so under its own current rules," unquote. In other words, whatever you did before the Republicans took over the House is now moot. In other words, you guys, Comer, Jordan, you get to start over now. Sneaky, sneaky, typical Democratic politics. By these actions, gropey Joe Biden and his team were effectively setting hard deadlines for when document purges go from being potentially having a good chance of success to being grossly illegal. Unfortunately for Mr. Biden, the attorneys that were tasked with shutting down his University of Pennsylvania office happened to stumble across some top secret government documents, and those lawyers knew the consequences. Had they not made those discoveries, we likely would never have even heard of these high-priced moving guys. Remember, Republicans, including Donald Trump, have been quick to point out the timing of the initial discovery and the lack of prompt public disclosure. It is my personal belief that the midterm elections might have been far more favorable to the Republicans if it had been made clear that Donald Trump wasn't the only president potentially breaking the law, perhaps. But the timing and the process leads to questions about what the current president might indeed have to hide. For now, gropey Joe Biden simply wants us to take him at his word that this whole classified documents mess is nothing more than an honest mistake. As he says, there's no there. Well, that may be true, but the activities that preceded the classified document discoveries raise a multitude of questions, from ethics to illegality. And from a guy who campaigned on elevating the standards at the White House, this is disappointing to say the very least. But the bigger question may be, why did Joe Biden have non-clearanced individuals looking through top secret classified documents? This is the Truth Hurts program. We all know that muttering, puttering, fluttering, shuddering, stuttering, stammering, mumbling, fumbling, crumbling, bumbling, stumbling, tumbling, mopey, dopey, little girl, gropey Joe Biden is inept, incompetent to do his job. We also know that he raided our nation's strategic petroleum reserve for political gain only. Yes, it lowered the price of fuel by a few pennies, which made Joe Biden able to say, "Look, I'm making gas prices go down." But they never have, and still to this day have not gone down to the low levels enjoyed by Americans while Donald Trump was your president. Biden says he will veto a Republican bill on oil reserves if it passes the House and the Senate. The U.S. Energy Secretary says she won't allow the American people to suffer. U.S. Energy Secretary, at the whim, will, and behest of Joe Biden, Jennifer Granholm, said on Monday that Joe Biden will veto House of Representatives 21, a bill on the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, if that bill passes Congress. She said, according to a statement released by the White House, quote, "So I'll be very clear, if Congress were to pass H.R. 21, the president would veto it. He will not allow the American people to suffer because of the backwards agenda that House Republicans are advancing." She says if you consider House of Representatives Bill 21, H.R. 21, it needlessly aims to weaken the Strategic Petroleum Reserve's usefulness as a tool to ensure energy security in America. She says, quote, "The Strategic Petroleum Reserve gives us the means to increase supply when the market needs it most and gives us the tool to increase it quickly," quickly being the operative word, speed is key, unquote. Here's the deal. What concerns Republicans is the fact that last year's releases from the SPR, the largest amount of crude from any president, may have led to the decline in the ability to store, to ship, to pipe, and to pump oil at the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, reading House of Representatives bills and Senate bills is a very complicated and long-winded process, but I'm going to go from the 118th Congress first session, H.R. 21, purpose, to provide for the development of a plan to increase oil and gas production under oil and gas leases of federal lands under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Energy, the Secretary of the Interior, and the Secretary of Defense, in conjunction with a drawdown of petroleum reserves from the Strategic Petroleum Reserves. In the House of Representatives, January 9, 2023, to provide for the development of a plan to increase oil and gas production under oil and gas leases of federal lands under the jurisdiction of all those yahoos. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, this act may be cited as the Strategic Production Response Act. Basically, the bottom line here, except in the case of a severe energy supply interruption described in subsection D, the Secretary may not execute the first drawdown of petroleum products in the reserve after the date of enactment of this subsection, whether through sale, exchange, or loan, until the Secretary has developed a plan to increase the percentage of federal lands, including submerged lands of the Outer Continental Shelf, under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Interior, and Secretary of Defense, leased for oil and gas production by the same percentage as the percentage of petroleum in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that is to be drawn down in that first and subsequent drawdowns, subject to limitations under paragraph 2. That limitation says the plan required by paragraph 1 shall not provide for a total increase in the percentage of federal lands described in paragraph 1 leased for oil and gas production in excess of 10%. The Secretary shall prepare the plan required by paragraph 1 in consultation with the Department of Agriculture, Interior, and Defense Secretaries. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Before any president, Democratic or Republican, before anyone can steal the petroleum products, the oil, the natural gas, from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, there has to be a plan in place to replace that oil, that natural gas. And that you can't just go doing it willy-nilly, sucking out our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, unless there is a severe, let's see here, how's it say? Except in the case of a severe energy supply interruption, which is described in subsection D later on in the bill. In other words, Joe Biden can't say, uh-oh, oil prices are going up and I'm the president and I'm going to look bad, so let's draw down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve right before the midterm elections so we can get some votes and I can jump up in the polls. Doing so should be illegal. He is using our Strategic Petroleum Reserves for personal political gain. And that, my friends, is criminal behavior on the part of Joe Biden. Criminal behavior. Then, remember, when we filled the Strategic Petroleum Reserve under Donald Trump, we did so when oil was around $30 a barrel, maybe even less than that. So we bought oil at a bargain price to fill our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Then the price starts going up because of Biden's disgusting economic policies, his disastrous economic policies. The price starts going up. Joe Biden dips in the polls. The midterms are coming. A great red wave is supposed to be on the way that will wipe out Democratic control of the Senate and the House. So the great liar and cheat, Joe Biden, steals from our petroleum reserve, sells the oil out so that the price of oil will drop and the price of gasoline will drop a few cents at the pump for personal political gain. And then he wants everyone to think he's some kind of hero when he puts a few million barrels back into that reserve at a price 4 times higher than what Donald Trump purchased oil for that reserve. Telling you folks, follow if you can, try and follow, get into the financial dealings of this president, of this administration, and you will see that the Biden crime family, along with many Democrats who supposedly hate the oil business, likely made millions of dollars at your expense and mine. Oh, I found an article that I found a little funny this morning in the New York Post. Aretha Franklin had a song that Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama sat in tuxedo and formal dress listening to Aretha Franklin singing, "You make me feel like a natural woman." The transgender activist group has now bashed Aretha Franklin and her song because they claim there is no such thing as a natural woman. You knew it had to happen. Nearly everyone the world over, including Barack Hussein Obama and his transgender wife slash husband thing, Michelle Maybelle, were big fans of Aretha Franklin and her song, Natural Woman. So naturally, a trans activist group in Norway is getting major backlash for deeming this 1968 hit song somehow offensive. You heard me correctly. On a Twitter tweet, the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance, TCMA, wrote, "Aretha Franklin's 1968 song Natural Woman perpetuates multiple harmful anti-trans stereotypes. There is no such thing as a, quote, natural, unquote, woman. This song has helped inspire acts of harm against transgender women. TCMA is requesting its removal from Spotify and Apple Music." Yeah, like that's gonna happen. Couple of things here. Number one, Aretha Franklin is a woman. Number two, she be black. You can't attack black. That don't rub off. Carl Gottlieb wrote on Twitter, "So someone heard this song and attacked trans people? What are things that never happened for 400, Alec?" Poor Decisions Television writes, "It's a great song and I'm going to listen to it right now because of this post. And amidst the uproar, the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance says they had to clarify that they were not a parody account. They actually posted that they were founded this year, in January of 2023, exclusively by transgender individuals to promote cultural changes to ensure the inclusivity of trans individuals." And then it says, "DM us to support our mission." Folks, there's a little kindergarten kid from Kindergarten Cop who said, "Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina. That's it. There are only two genders. And any mentally deranged individual who thinks otherwise needs to literally have their head examined." This is the Truth Hurts program. Tell Me Best is a website. Jennifer Holohan is a writer for that website. She writes an article, "Why shopping carts are going missing in record numbers." First of all, let me just say, a shopping cart, you know, the trolley, the little basket that you push through the shopping basket through the grocery store, those things are not free. They are not cheap. They belong to the grocery store company that purchases them. Shopping carts range in price from $75 to $375, and that's a large expense when a grocery store has to buy 100 of those at a time. Every few months or so, an online debate rages over this odd topic, shopping carts. Typically, the conversation revolves around who does and who doesn't return their store carts to the shopping cart corral or to the store. But it turns out that a shopping cart and its woes extend beyond the questions of common courtesy, because missing shopping carts, stolen shopping carts, are bad financial news for companies. We've all had the frustrating experience of a runaway cart bumping into our car in the high wind. It's easy to spot them throughout town, far from their home store, no matter where you live in what part of the country. You'll find many of them, usually in poor minority areas. And, of course, the poor minorities say that that's okay, because they can't afford cars, so they need to push that shopping cart with their groceries all the way across town to their hood, to their project, to their crib. It's easy to spot them throughout town, whether those rogue shopping carts wandered away on their own during a storm or were moved by someone who stole them, according to this article, really should not matter. Abandoned shopping carts are an eyesore, yes, but the problem is deeper than that. Carts that leave the store of origin have to get collected and returned by someone. Sometimes that responsibility and cost falls to the store itself. Sometimes taxpayers have to foot the collection bill. Now that may surprise you, and it's easy to dismiss. After all, how much can it cost to round up, wrangle, and return shopping carts? The reality is, the store staples cost much more to round up than most people might imagine. According to CNN, Fayetteville, North Carolina, the city, spent $78,468 in the return and collection of shopping carts in the small period of time between May of 2020 and October of 2022. And they're not the only municipality dealing with a shopping cart issue. Santa Fe, New Mexico paid $47,000 in the same period of time. Thousands of carts were collected in both areas. There's no national data on shopping cart losses, but U.S. retailers claim that on average they lose tens of millions of dollars every year replacing lost, stolen, and damaged carts. And the number is climbing rapidly. Over the last few years, an increasing number and percentage of carts are disappearing from retailers. Of course, there are multiple factors. Many people in urban areas use the carts to haul their groceries home and then simply leave them on a street corner. Of course, others steal the carts and take them to scrap metal facilities, who willingly take them, melt them down, scrap them, and that's that. There should be fines against any scrap metal dealer that takes a shopping cart in, and there should be stiffer fines and penalties for metal recycling companies if they take in the catalytic converter stolen from your Ford Ranger or your Chevy Tahoe. Of course, sometimes it's the homeless who steal these baskets and turn them into their own portable whatever. And the next paragraph in this article tries to place the blame on the missing carts on Mother Nature, stating, quote, "Of course, sometimes a heavy storm pulls unsecured carts away from parking lots and corrals," unquote. We all know the largest factor is the rise in homeless populations around our country, especially in the last 2 years, since Joe Biden's inflation, Joe Biden's recession, Joe Biden's empty shelves, Joe Biden's wide open borders, and Joe Biden's disastrous economy have forced more people out of homes and onto the streets. Many homeless individuals use shopping carts to store their belongings, or they use them to build makeshift shelters. And we would never want to punish those homeless people, right? After all, they've been through a lot. Cities have begun taking drastic steps to try and hold the retailers and the shoppers accountable for shopping carts. In Dartmouth, Massachusetts, the city charged Walmart $23,000 after the city collected and stored hundreds of shopping carts for 2 years. And in the tiny hamlet of Ogden, Utah, there are plans to fine anyone possessing a cart and charge a retailer for any shopping carts that the city collects and stores. Retailers have stepped up to the plate. Many have invested in new technology that will lock a shopping cart's wheels if it is taken too far from the store. This, of course, raises cost of the shopping carts, which in turn must be passed on to you and to me. And these steps don't guarantee the company will not unnecessarily throw money away chasing after missing carts. No, sir. People have found ways of disabling and destroying those items. Now you, me, the rest of U.S. shoppers, we might say we understand these steps, and we don't mind these measures. Remember the coin lock system used at Aldi and other European markets? You have to put a quarter in before you can get the cart, and then you get your quarter back when you roll your cart back to the cart corral and plug it in to the chain affixed to the cart in front of it. That way, no one wants to lose a quarter, and maybe we can solve this horrific crisis in the United States of America. Yes, my friends, I apologize for wasting so much of your valuable time talking about carts. Earlier in this program, I mentioned the fact that Joe Biden, using his own personal attorneys to search for, search through, and potentially destroy classified documents, was strange. But according to Zeke Miller and Eric Tucker with the Associated Press, there's a legal and political strategy in now letting the FBI search Biden's home. The damage is already done. They've already gotten rid of all the damaging stuff that they didn't want you and me to find out about. Joe Biden's decision allowing the FBI to finally search his home in Delaware last week, more than 2.5 months after the first classified top secret documents were found, is laying him open to fresh negative attention and embarrassment because of the earlier discoveries of classified top secret documents at his home, his garage, his library, a former office, and God knows where else. But this is a legal and political calculation that Biden's aides hope will pay off in the long run, because Biden claims he's still going to seek re-election. In a nearly 13-hour search by DOJ officials at the so-called request of the sitting president's Wilmington home, it looks like a black eye for Biden, who promised to restore propriety to the office after the tumultuous tenure of Donald Trump. Yes, you can tell this article is highly biased in the Associated Press. Highly biased against Trump, because Trump's name should have never been mentioned in this article. But they can't help themselves. They have to mention Trump in a negative light. Otherwise, the nun slaps them on the wrist with a ruler or something. With these actions, Biden is now doing more than simply complying with federal investigators assigned to look into the discovery of these illegally maintained records. Gropey Joe Biden is trying to make it look like, unlike Trump, he never intended to retain the materials. That's why he willingly turned them over. And he says his attorneys have said full access was granted to the home in the interest of moving the process forward as expeditiously as possible. If I was a lawyer and I represented the President of the United States and I wanted to show that I'm being fully cooperative and I do care to be projecting transparency to the American public and I do take this seriously, I think this is the advice I would give the President as well. This is what a former senior Justice Department national security official named Mary McCord had to say. It's not to say she approves of his mishandling of these documents. When Biden was completing his time as vice president under Barack Obama, she says, I think it's wrong that he had those documents there. It shows lapses at the end of that administration. The bottom line still remains, my Truth Hurts program listeners. Why were non-security clearanced individuals sent by Biden to his home to search for, potentially purge and destroy all kinds of potentially damaging documentation against the president? And then, oops, we found classified stuff here too. Now we have to turn it in, or we could lose our law licenses and we could go to prison because we have seen classified documents. Criticism of Biden's mishandling of these documents is coming from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Democratic Party Senator Joe Manchin said Biden should have a lot of regrets in response to Biden claiming he has no regrets over mishandling these documents. Biden's own attorneys are trying to make you think it was just a mistake. A mistake might be believable, my friends, but 5, 6 discoveries now? That's no mistake. That is a pattern. That is a hoarder. Joe Biden, the hoarder, keeping his prizes, his classified top secret documents, perhaps to help him write his book, perhaps for more nefarious purposes. Maybe they were being used against him in some extortion or bribery scheme. I am calling on the Republicans, on McCarthy, on Scalise, and the rest of them in the House of Representatives to use their newly appointed powers to investigate Gropey Joe Biden, his family, for the mishandling, the theft, and illegal possession of these documents. House Oversight Chairman Jim Comer of Tennessee wrote in asking for visitors' logs to Biden's residence, saying it is troubling that classified documents have been improperly stored at the home of President Biden for at least the last 6 years, which raises many questions about who may have reviewed or had access to classified information. We know for a fact that these lawyers, without security clearance, most certainly had access. That, my friends, is a double standard. Donald Trump had documents under lock and key with Secret Service security details at Mar-a-Lago. Biden did not. Biden had them in a garage next to his Corvette, where his cocaine addict son could hang out. There's a big double standard. Remember the 30,000 classified emails that went missing from Hillary Clinton? Sure, a Clinton lawyer voluntarily gave the FBI a thumb drive, but how do we know that was everything? Suddenly, her servers were destroyed completely. There is a different set of rules for Democrats and Republicans. But Merrick Garland declared on Monday, in answer to the question, is there a different set of rules? Quote, we do not have a different set of rules for Democrats or Republicans. We apply the fact under the law in each case in a neutral and nonpartisan manner. That is what we always do. And that is what we are doing in the matters you are referring to. Wow. Biden's lapdog, Merrick Garland. Very, very unconvincing liar. There could be consequences, including criminal prosecution, for any staffer found to have mishandled those classified documents. And you know damn well Biden and his staff are trying to come up with a scapegoat, someone or several someones to blame for this, Biden's theft and illegal possession of top secret documents. And the quota hire, the little black gay woman, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, said she's not answering questions. During her daily briefings, she just simply refers the questions to the Justice Department, to the White House lawyers, or to Biden's personal attorneys. Maybe she's not quite as stupid as some people think she is. She's keeping her mouth shut. My friends, I have run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day. We'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye for now.
Copyright 2023, the Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. This program was pre-recorded.